Good morning, everybody. And I'm really excited to be here. I'm going to present the work that we've done with our breastfeeding supplement grant, which was discussed at the beginning of the session. And we're looking to see how to make breastfeeding be the easy choice. So I just wanted to say I have no financial relationship to disclose. I will disclose that I don't know how to shut the volume off of my new BlackBerry, so hopefully it won't ring. I tried, but I couldn't figure it out. In my talk today, which is brief, I do want to share some strategies that we use to create some community partnerships to improve breastfeeding duration and how other states might be able to use some of these strategies with the communities that they serve. So, as we talked about this morning, there are several behavioral objectives for the Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Program, which Massachusetts is lucky to have had funding for many years. And in the list of behaviors that we are looking to impact is increasing initiation duration and exclusivity of breastfeeding. And why that's important, I'll just show you a couple of the data points, but there is a body of research around the impact of breastfeeding on obesity prevention. And the most recent statement on breastfeeding from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which was released about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, they reference a 15 to 30% reduction in adolescent and adult obesity when you're comparing any breastfeeding to no breastfeeding at all. And that the duration of breastfeeding is inversely related to the risk of overweight. So there's about a 4% reduction in risk with each month of breastfeeding duration. There was also a recent paper by Gibbs in 2013 looking at low-income populations, and that infants who are predominantly fed formula for the first 6 months versus those who are predominantly breastfed, so looking at a little bit more of exclusivity, were 2.5 times more likely to be obese at age two. So there's also a feeling that unhealthy infant feeding practices are a key driver in the disparities related to socioeconomic status and obesity among early young kids. So it's an important thing for us to work on. So we were really excited when we heard about this opportunity from CDC to provide a year of supplemental funding to nutrition, physical activity, and obesity programs to look at obesity prevention in the post-discharge period, so looking at helping moms after they leave the hospital. We have for several years used some of our NPAO money to look at baby-friendly practice. We continue to do that, but this was an opportunity to look at what we could do in communities after the babies came home. And so the focus of the grant is to improve access to post-discharge breastfeeding support, especially among more vulnerable populations. And so we did this work as a collaboration in the department itself. So I want to recognize Chris Nordstrom, who's sitting here from our Bureau of Community Health and Prevention and the Nutrition, Physical Activity, and Obesity Program, as well as the Nutrition Division, and we oversee the WIC program and breastfeeding work. So it was a nice collaboration for us. And then we worked with Northeastern University, and Roger Edwards is in the back, so I want to acknowledge him. So this is, we've been working together for a couple years, but this has been a great culmination of our partnership. So this is a busy slide, but we have three objectives for our project. The first one is the real community-based work with families. We provided catalyst grants, mini grants, to six communities to enhance breastfeeding support in the post-discharge period. These were teams. We had a competitive grant application. The teams had to involve a birth hospital, a WIC program, and a third community-based organization. And I will share with you some of the work that they're doing, but they all kind of had a different perspective on how to improve post-discharge breastfeeding support, and they all kind of came up with their own proposals. We also used some funds to fund baby cafes in three federally qualified health centers across the state. And if you're not familiar with Baby Cafe, it's an international model for group breastfeeding support that involves clinical expertise as well as mother-to-mother support. It's been very successful, especially in England, and it's been getting a lot of implementation here in the United States. And so we wanted to see what happens if we put that in a health center setting. So we provided them a lot of technical assistance. We helped them with data collection. I have data to show you. We have a pretty robust system for collecting process data among those teams. Our second objective was to look at medical providers. And so we used some funding to develop an online free, it's actually CME and CEU, 1.5 hour course to look at how we can improve practices in the pediatric setting around breastfeeding support. I'll give you the URL. It is free. It's up for 3 years, and you can share that with whoever you'd like. And our third objective was to look at an existing system for referral to breastfeeding support called ZipMilk. I don't know if y'all are familiar with it. It's available in Massachusetts as well as a few other states. And it basically is a directory I'll show you. You put your zip code in and you get a list of available resources that are in your community within a certain distance from your home. And we had just revamped it in partnership with the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition, and we're looking for ways to really promote its utilization, both with parents but also with providers who are mandated by Massachusetts regulation to provide breastfeeding information upon discharge and also in the pediatric setting. And in terms of the hospitals, what we did do with this project was to look at how they were providing discharge information about breastfeeding to see if they had the requirements and also if they were meeting some benchmarks that some organizations had set in terms of appropriate information to provide parents at discharge. So all these things work together in our gears. As I said before, we were looking to target vulnerable populations, and this is just in reference to the six communities we funded for the Catalyst grants. But we actually ended up, if you look at the communities that are served in those cities and towns, we're targeting about 20% of the births in Massachusetts. And if you look at the state overall, which is the third column in, you can see that the populations that we selected for the grants are much more diverse and of a lower socioeconomic status. So for example, public payment, 36% of births in Massachusetts are to Medicaid patients, but 54% in our study in our grant population. So we did try to improve access to the populations who needed it the most. One important part of our project was our collaboration with Mass in Motion. So Mass in Motion is Massachusetts' initiative to improve community-based physical activity and wellness and nutrition through changes to the environment, to policy, and we have 52 cities and towns that are working to do Mass in Motion activities, and it's a public-private partnership in terms of funding it. It's something that the department has been working on for a long time, and when we launched our grant application for our six Catalyst grants, we required that the communities that apply be part of the Mass in Motion partnership, because we felt they already had the capacity to do obesity prevention work. They had a lot of partners. They kind of knew what it takes to create new programs or to look at interventions for obesity prevention. So that was actually a great strategy. We've increased a lot of knowledge of people within those communities, because breastfeeding is not always something people think about for obesity prevention. So the Mass in Motion teams didn't always know who was doing the breastfeeding work in their community. So that's been a great outcome of this project. But actually all nine of our community funds went to communities that already had Mass in Motion projects. So these are the folks, if you're familiar with Massachusetts, you might know who the programs are, but I just wanted to show two things. One, that we distributed our interventions across the state of Massachusetts, and actually have very few, we have nothing specifically right in the city of Boston, but we have lots of surrounding communities and also targeted western Massachusetts and the southeast portion of the state, which has lower breastfeeding rates. And the other thing I want to show you is one of the CDC's metrics for us to collect is how many organizations were involved in the initiative. So if you look at the number of community-based organizations, as I said before, there's a hospital in there, there's a WIC program, there's a Mass in Motion project, and in some cases we had two. And then there are other community-based organizations like Early Head Start, child care programs, some healthcare providers that really increased the number of partners for the community. So if you look, there's no community with the minimum three community-based organizations that we required. Everyone really had a big partnership. So I can tell you more about these teams later if you have a specific question. They all did different things, and they all had either an existing project within. They all had existing work, and they were looking to enhance it. So in some cases, they expanded support groups or started a support group where there wasn't one. They trained their providers like home visitors with some advanced lactation training. They took the WIC Breastfeeding Care Counselor program that was already running, and they gave more hours or added more staff. They created some outpatient lactation centers where people could go and get one-on-one, more clinical lactation support. We had partnerships with Early Head Start to help mothers going back to work create pumping plans. In one case, one of our grantees developed a grandparent curriculum, because if you know anything about breastfeeding, grandparents are a very important factor in decision-making processes and sustaining breastfeeding over time. a lot of collaboration with birth hospitals, which is a great outcome of the project, even though we weren't really focusing too much on what happens inside the birth hospital. We're really interested in the referral networks that happen upon discharge. We did a lot of outreach to providers within these grantees to know that what services were available to women after they left the hospital, and we helped some folks keep track of their breastfeeding data with some software. So I will say these were expansions of existing work, and over the course of the grant, and mind you, this is only a one-year project, we have been increasing the number of contacts made with postpartum women to about 260 contacts per month increase over baseline. Within the 9 to 10 months, we've really been actively working on the project. And these are some of the data points the CDC is asking us to collect. So if you look across, this is just our six grant interventions that we called Catalyst Grants. We had nearly 4,000 births in the time period that we've been implementing. We've provided post-discharge support, information about where to get referrals, et cetera, to over 3,000 of them. We've nearly had over 5,000 women who've received support from between 0 and 2 months, because sometimes these communities are serving people from other hospitals to come and receive the services. And we've had lots of moms come with older infants. The number of contacts with women in the first 8 weeks postpartum was over 12,000 for these six different grantees. And the number of women total who received breastfeeding support over this period was over 10,000. So we've had a lot of impact in a short period of time. And definitely the funds that went, and there were small amounts of money, probably about $18,000, $20,000 per community to enhance their project, is paying off. And I would say that the majority of them continue to implement these services beyond the grant period, which is something that's a big success. These are our baby cafe measures. They're hard to see, but I can tell you that it's hard to get a support group up and running. And in the amount of time these folks have been running, we've calculated it for about a six-month period. They've had 83 mothers come through in these three centers and over 200 contacts. These only operate twice a week, and they start small but get big. And we've had a lot of good success incorporating breastfeeding support into the health center. The objective we had around continuing medical education, can be found. You can find the free CME at northeastern.edu/breastfeedingCME. And just to show you briefly, this is the type of things that we were providing education on in the CME, looking at the AAP guidelines, a background on breastfeeding, looking at how mothers make decisions and what affects those decisions, basic breastfeeding management, troubleshooting, and how to connect people to the referral resources that are available to them. I didn't mean to do that. So just to show you, we've had actually over 350 folks take and pass the CME since it was launched about 3.5 months ago. So that's pretty good. Am I wrong about that, Roger? Is that about 3.5 months? And actually almost 1,800 folks have come and look at it from all over the place, all different countries and all over different states. We've been promoting it through different listservs, et cetera, and it is free and available to anybody. We've had more nurses than doctors complete it, which is fine, but we just got our information posted in the Mass chapter of the AAP's newsletter, so we're hoping for some more coverage for physicians, at least in Massachusetts. Yeah. Zip Milk is the last objective. This is what it looks like, zipmilk.org. And when you search by your zip code, this is all of Massachusetts, it will show you all the different types of breastfeeding support available, from lactation consultants to free breastfeeding support groups to WIC programs, et cetera. I will put a plug in that the Mass Breastfeeding Coalition, who maintains the site, is working with other state coalitions for a really small fee to help them set up their own Zip Milk and maintain it over time, with the hope that eventually every mother in the U.S. has access to find her lactation support. We're working on right now, the last push during our grant phase is really to improve Zip Milk knowledge, understanding of what zipmilk.org is and how to use it. So we're working on a social media campaign with our word cloud and other things to kind of increase the understanding and knowledge of the Zip Milk resource. We also did work with all 48 of our birth hospitals in Massachusetts to look at what the information they were giving to folks upon discharge. And we are actually this week sending out reports where we showcase the strengths and challenges that each of the hospital has in the information providing to that they're providing to mothers, and in specific areas, and it's hard to read, but different aspects of breastfeeding that folks might need information about, whether they had it or they didn't, so we can help them create a more complete set of information for mothers. So our lessons learned is that every community is very different. People chose all different types of interventions to create services that made sense for the people that they are working with. Stakeholders are not always aware that breastfeeding is an obesity prevention strategy, but it's really great to make those connections, and those will last beyond the period of the grant. 1 year is nowhere near enough time to make a huge impact, but actually we're very proud of what we've done in a 1 year period of time. And collecting data from these various organizations, when you think about 10 CBOs working on one project, is very complicated, but actually over time we were really able to smooth that out. So I wanted to thank all of the organizations, the 104, that actually worked on this project over the past 12 months or so. And I want to give special thanks to the team at the Department of Public Health and Northeastern University that made this possible. Thank you.